like, first off, it starts off the field, you know, creating that brotherhood, creating that, chemistry.
You know, I'm just looking forward to having another good season.
So when we get on the field, you know, we understand each other, understand what makes each other tick.
I mean, it seems like this team can beat you in so many different ways, with speed or with power.
Yeah, really understanding each other, and then that translates to the field.
It's Sunday, and while most of Atlanta is taking the day off, our Falcons are putting in the work at Falcons Training Camp.
Tune in or listen on the Odyssey app.
As Mike Johnson and Dylan Matthews bring you all the action of camp, live from the Ticketmaster Studios in Flowery Branch. Brought to you in part by your North Georgia Honda dealers.
Window Nation, windownation.com, or call 866-90-NATION.
And Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. Our exclusive camp coverage continues because our Falcons play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, here's Mike and Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, alongside Mike. You ready? I'm going to do it. The All-American.
Oh, no.
National champion.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Atlanta Falcon, Mike Johnson here with me. We are half of the morning shift, by the way.
Ding.
There it is. Appreciate you joining in. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from Atlanta Falcons training camp here at Flowery Branch as the Falcons fans make their way up the hill. Have another great turnout. They're getting the final fans are getting their items from the food trucks and the team store, and the vibes are high right now as we have another day of Falcons training camp. Day three.
They took Friday was a, what you call, I guess, they were just doing a walkthrough on Friday, a little rehash of what we saw on Thursday. So, yeah, we're at day four right now, correct?
Day four of practice for the Falcons. And, Mike, unfortunately, we got to start this day off by talking about a little bit of bad news on the Falcons. And I know the vibes have been high and things have been looking good out there for the Falcons. Defense has been looking really good. Offense has been solid as well, and we'll get into all of that. But as far as the offense goes, there was a little bit of bad news on the wide receiver front. Darnell Mooney, a shoulder injury after catching a deep bomb from Michael Penix. Then he couldn't really survive the ground. He didn't make the catch. But the most important thing of that story is that he did sustain a little bit of a shoulder injury, and it's reported that he's going to miss a few weeks. It's unclear right now whether or not he's going to miss any time in the regular season,
right?
But he is going to miss most of camp for sure.
Well, too, I want to start here because I actually was about 20 yards away from where this actually happened, and there was kind of some, I don't know, misspoken reporting going on out in the Twitter sphere about what exactly happened to Darnell Mooney. Some people said he laid out for a pass. Kind of half correct. It was one of those ones where you would have run underneath, extended the arms, and kind of fallen down as you caught it. Kind of falls on the ball, falls on the shoulder, and kind of rolls with it. And obviously, I thought when he got up, I thought he got the wind knocked out of him. So he gets up, and he's kind of – I'm like, okay, maybe he's mad right now. Maybe he's upset that he dropped the ball, because in the end, he did not come down with the catch. I think it was Jordan Fuller, if I'm not mistaken, that was back there in coverage, kind of breaking out towards the sideline from that safety position. But gets up slowly. Ike Hilliard comes over, is kind of giving him a little bit of, you know, trash talk. Is like, hey, man, you should have come down with that. And then realizes at one point, hey, man, he might actually not feel great. But I will say this, Dylan, and like you said, we don't know the extent of the injury.
Right.
It sounds like to me like it's going to be a 3 or 4 week type of deal. You know, it doesn't sound like he's going to miss any regular season, but we do not know just yet. But yesterday, video does come out of Darnell Mooney wearing a sleeveless hoodie, by the way.
Ding.
On the field, and I was like, dude, it is literally 100 degrees outside. I don't
way
know what this guy's doing.
That.
Yeah, but he's dancing a little bit. Does not have a sling on. There's no, like, you know, it's not like he's over with the injured group. I don't know what to think about the fact that he doesn't have a sling on, but he's not doing anything football-related. You know, a lot of times when it's like the 2 or 3 day injury, the 1 week injury, you'll still put the jersey on, you'll still go run around, keep the legs fresh. I guess they decided they did not want him actually moving that shoulder or AC joint or rotator cuff or whatever it is in that shoulder that's injured. But I'm not too terribly concerned at this point. Had we talked about a 2 month injury, yeah, I'd be really worried. Remember, this is a guy who came up, what, 8 yards last year of a 1,000-yard season. He really is unique and one of those people that really allows everybody else in this offense to kind of do what they do. And it would be scary if he was going to be out for any, for the foreseeable future in the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely. And, look, I know Darnell and Michael Penix Jr. worked a lot during the offseason. Michael Penix Jr. and all the receiver corps worked a lot during the offseason. But now is the time where, you're continuing to install, and you know this well, and I'll let you expound upon this. But obviously they're doing a lot of install and a lot of new install right now too as well. It's not just, you know, continuing, and while they are expanding upon some of the plays they put in during OTAs and things of that nature, they are putting some new plays in as well. So that does concern me a little bit as far as coming together on the plays that maybe they haven't been able to get reps in on yet. But as far as overall chemistry goes, I'm not, like you said, I'm with you. I'm not too overly concerned, but there is a concern as far as, okay, when he is ready to come back, how much time is there going to be left in the preseason? How much time are they going to have to iron any little kinks that still need to be ironed out, and how is that going to affect their chemistry going into the regular season? Now, again, if he's not going to miss any regular season time, again, you're not too worried about, you know, them being too off base as far as when the snacks actually matter and you get to week one and things of that nature. But there is just a little bit of concern, and it makes my stomach, you know, curl up just a little bit when you think about, oh, they're going to miss some time. And that's just that many more reps that you're not going to be able to have when you talk about who a guy who is now your bona fide number two receiver.
Yeah, he definitely is. And like I said, not only that, but let's go back to what Drake London was without Darnell Mooney. Yeah. And I think that's an important thing to kind of keep in mind. Darnell Mooney has allowed Drake London, and we've called it the power slot position, the inside receiver, you know, a pseudo tight end, whatever you want to call it. All right. Darnell Mooney being signed last offseason to the deal, the 3-year deal that he was signed coming over from Chicago Bears, has really allowed Drake London to be what Drake London can be. It's a more physical version. It's not a, I'm going to run the outside, go routes, and beat somebody down the field. That's not Drake London's game. He's not 4-3 speed. He's not 4-4 speed. He's a guy who has to be physical and use those long arms, use those basketball skills that we know he has. Darnell Mooney being in the fold has allowed him to do that. And so it's curious to see. I know that yesterday's practice, Kadarius Hodge was kind of in that wide receiver two role, and Ray McLeod still sticking in there, that wide receiver three kind of being that other guy in 11 personnel. We do have Abe Gordon who will be out there today. I've already asked him straight up, hey, the first thing I want to know is who's playing that wide receiver two position. Is it still Kadarius Hodge today? Are they flirting with anything else? I know that they've signed DJ Chark, you know, to that role, but it sounds like there's a bunch of other wide receivers who have some ability. I'll be curious to see if in that rotation today, if they flirt with anybody else. But Darnell Mooney really is the key in a lot of different ways to allowing all the other roles on this offense to kind of do what they do best. So I'm curious to see how they move forward. I'll say this too, and I think I've started to realize this over the last 3 or 4 days. We got a chance to talk to Drake London on Thursday. You heard that on the morning shift Friday morning. Darnell Mooney he's the captain of the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
And I've started realizing that. You've heard Michael Penix was on, I guess, with Dukes and Bell, Dukes or Andy Bell. And Randy the other day.
Dukes and Bell.
And he was having a chance to chat, and it's like, hey, you guys did, you know, you did the passing camp out in California. What did he say? Well, hey, that wasn't me. That was Darnell. That was Darnell. Darnell was the guy that said it. And here's a little look at that. I know that Drake's been here longer than any of them, you know, for the most part at the wide receiver position. But a lot of times when you have a vet come over from another franchise, right, and Darnell comes over and he's making, I don't know, $9 million a year or something along those lines. You've signed him to a pretty good deal. All of a sudden when a guy comes in and he's on his second contract and Drake's still being on his rookie deal, the hierarchy in that meeting room is kind of set by that. Oh, hey, we signed another vet. We signed him to an extension. We signed him to, you know, he's making big money at the wide receiver spot. And a lot of times the hierarchy in that room can kind of fall to, well, Darnell's the guy. Drake London's still on his rookie deal. We know what Drake's capable of, but Darnell a lot of times can get a lot of different things done. It seems like he's stepped into the leadership role of the wide receiver room. So it's not just a quote-unquote wide receiver two. To me, this is a massive injury. And one of the biggest ones probably, aside from Bijan, this could be the one person on offense you can't lose as far as you know, skill positions go.
And before, because I do want to touch on DJ Chark, and it is half of the morning shift, your boy Dylan Matthews and Mike Johnson right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, live from Atlanta Falcons training camp as we're getting ready for day four practice here at Flowery Branch, getting going here fairly soon. Before we get into more into the DJ Chark signing, because I do have a few questions for you about that, when it comes to the leadership aspect that you just talked about with Darnell Mooney, they shouldn't be missing much because Darnell, like you said, he's still out there and he's still able to chop it up with the guys. He can talk to the Drake Londons. Right. He can talk to the Kadarius Hodges. So they shouldn't be missing too much out on that aspect, right? He can still, again, coach guys up if he need to and talk to the, you know, even if he's talking to the Casey Washingtons, he can still be that leader. So they're not missing out on anything like that.
No, no. And he'll be, like you said, he's still in the meeting room. He's watching film. He's talking about the timing of routes. And here's what I will say. Here's the other downside for me when you look at it. You are dealing with what I would call not a chess match, but more of a ping pong match, right? So day one, you're going to come out. Offensive skill players a lot of times are going to get the best of things defensively. Defense is in day one of communication, right, on the back end. If you run a motion with Darnell Mooney or Drake London, a lot of times the defense might be just a step behind, right? So day one, offense is going to get it.
Yeah.
A lot of the things coming out of yesterday's practice, where the defense was way ahead.
Yeah.
Defense was breaking on balls. Defense was breaking things up. So what do you think Zach Robinson and company are going to do last night? Right, they're going to get off the practice field. They're going to go look at the blitzes. I heard it was a heavy blitz period for Jeff Ulbrich, which is kind of crazy in practice day three. But a lot of times that is. Sometimes when you open it up, if you're Jeff Ulbrich saying, all right, this is what we got to do. We're going to start installing the blitz packages. We're going to move from the 3-4 to the 4-3. We're going to get after it with Caden Ellison company up the middle. And then Zach Robinson, TJ Yates, Dwayne Ledford, the entire offensive staff, they're going to get in there and go, oh, man, hey, they're blitzing. All right, so last night they're going to go into the film room and they're going to say, hey, here's this signal. You're going to tap your helmet. You're going to tap your shoulder. You're going to clap your hands. You're going to give point down. Whatever it may be, this is hot route. This is how we adjust. Hey, you have to look for the ball now. Hey, the corner might be coming. Hey, the safety's rolling down. We have to have the communication to our wide receivers out wide between Michael Penix and a Drake London, who is not there. And a Darnell Mooney, who is not there. And a Drake London and a Ray McLeod and a Kyle Pitts, whoever it might be. That'll be the answer today. And so I'm curious to see what this group kind of comes out with. Michael Penix did have some disconnections yesterday. I know that some balls were knocked out of hands or fumbles along the way, but I want to see what the response is. How many routes today are hot throws? How many adjustments are you making against the blitz, and can you start to beat Jeff Ulbrich's defense when they start to take some of those chances, even without Darnell Mooney on the field?
Let's talk a little bit about DJ Chark. He did get signed to a one-year deal by the Atlanta Falcons. That was announced yesterday. Is DJ Chark going to be good enough in Mooney's absence? And what I mean by that is, let's say Darnell Mooney does have to miss a game or two. Is DJ Chark the immediate answer to Darnell Mooney being out? Is he going to be a like-for-like? Do you see him as a like-for-like replacement for Darnell Mooney? Or are they going to look at other guys first? Are they going to look at Kadarius Harris first, who we talked about? Are they going to look at maybe a Casey Washington first? Or are they going to – it seems like maybe DJ Chark is more of a like-for-like as far as being able to do the same sort of things Darnell Mooney can do. So is DJ Chark going to be – did they bring him in specifically knowing, hey, we want to be – we want to make sure, just in case Darnell Mooney does miss some time, that we have a guy who can do some of the same things that a Darnell Mooney can do.
It is weird kind of talking about this scenario, because I do think that it came out that they had already worked out DJ Chark a while back.
Right,
they liked him but didn't really have a spot for him. And I think it's kind of a little bit of an happy accident that he is a 4-3 guy, which is what Darnell Mooney is, and you just simply go, oh, yeah, hey, remember that DJ guy we worked out a couple of weeks ago?
Where is he?
Yeah, he'll fill in this role nicely. But it almost feels like, and this is the unique part of this entire storyline with DJ Chark, it almost feels like he's either going to be on the roster as like that wide receiver 2 spot, or like he ain't going to make it. You know what I mean?
It
doesn't feel like there's any in between. You know Kadarius Hodge is going to, he's a Pro Bowl special teamer. Casey Washington was a draft pick last year. Even going all the way back to, I think it's David Sills, the West Virginia party that had a big day yesterday. Nick Nash, who was an undrafted free agent, a lot of people are expecting things for. DJ Chark is kind of I don't want to cut him a Johnny come lately, right? But he's one of those guys where you're like, this guy is either going to be a wide receiver 2 in week one, or he might not even be here if Darnell Mooney gets healthy like a week from now. You know what I mean? You can see them just cutting ties and be like, hey, man, appreciate you.
Right, and that's the crazy part about it, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's like, this guy was a solid contributor to the Chargers, to the Raiders.
Yeah.
Like, he's been
an absolute dog in college.
Yes.
A dog in college.
So, this is a guy who's been on contributing teams and has done things. It's not like he's just a random guy off the street who's like, yeah, he's had a cup of coffee here, and he's just jumped all around because he can't find a sticking spot. No, he's been a pretty good wide receiver for a couple of different teams. And you bringing that up was my exact question. Is like, if he doesn't show that he has wide receiver 2 caliber, like there, like you said, it was tough bringing it. It kind of was an unhappy accident the way you phrased it, him being in here at all, because the Darnell Mooney injury. It's like, okay, when Mooney comes back, where is the spot for him? Is there even going to be a spot for him? So
yeah,
that is definitely a question we're going to find out
about. I will say one more thing before we move on. This is a guy who hasn't done it in a while, but as a rookie was a kick returner at times for the Jacksonville Jaguars when he came out of college. Remember now, that's a Mike's spot. Remember now, that is a spot that is very much up in the air for the Atlanta Falcons. Jamal Agnew is coming in here. He kind of reminds you of a DJ Chark with, you know, kind of the journeyman resume that's bounced around a little bit but does return kicks.
Yep.
Behind Jamal Agnew, you have a bunch of guys on this roster that have done it but not really at a high level. Mike Hughes, D. Alford, guys like that. So keep that in mind as we work through this. And as always, the wide receiver room, the depth of it's going to come down to who exactly can contribute on special teams in the long run, and we'll find out very, very soon who can do that.
We shall see how that turns out, and we'll keep an eye on that wide receiver battle that and that wide receiver room that seemed solidified as far as the back end goes, but now has a couple of more questions in it with DJ Shark getting moved into the fold. But when we come back here about 5 minutes from now, we're going to move from the offense and the wide receivers to the defense and the DBs, because the secondary battle continues, and we know there's been a lot made about two specific safeties, one a veteran, one a rookie, but there's another guy that I think should be put his name should be in the hat and his name should be in the fold a little bit more. We'll tell you who we're talking about next. Coming up, it is half the morning shift. It is your boy Dylan Matthews and Mikey P, Mike Johnson, coming back here on Sports Radio 99 The Game, live from Flowery Branch, Atlanta Falcons practice day four. We'll be right back here on Sports Radio 99 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
I'm happy to be back with my teammates and, you know, just be back.
Right now, we're just ready to play.
Back to Mike and Dylan, live from the Ticketmaster Studios in Flowery Branch.
Brought to you in part by your North Georgia Honda dealers, Window Nation, windownation.com, or call 866-90-NATION, and Margaritaville in Lanier Islands.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is your boy Dylan Matthews, alongside with the All-American, National Champion, and former Atlanta Falcon offensive lineman Mike Johnson, Mikey P. And we are live from Atlanta Falcons training camp, day four of Falcons practice. About to get underway here in the next about 8 minutes. They'll hit the field, so they probably already started stretching and whatnot. We are right outside of where the food trucks are, where the fans start walking up the hill to go grab their seats. And Mike, I mean, we couldn't ask for a better day.
Yeah, we couldn't. And obviously, it's a little spicy, as it has been most of the month of July and will be most of the month of August. But I will say, man, I've always felt this way. And I tried to explain this to Allie and Bo the other day when we were out here. It's a little bit more breezy in Flowery Branch than it is Atlanta.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit more breezy out there on the field than it is most places. So if you're walking through Midtown, if you're in Piedmont Park, if you're somewhere else in the Atlanta area, and if you're at a Little League game or something going on this weekend and you're like, man, it's hot. I don't know how them guys are surviving out there. I've always felt like, now I grew up in Florida and went to school in Alabama, so it's hot in both those places. But when I got here, it's just a little bit breezy. It ain't windy. It's a little bit breezier, so it ain't quite as bad out here as you might imagine for the Atlanta Falcons, but putting those pads on, those helmets on, those guardian caps, the pants that'll be coming on, and everything else throughout the next couple of weeks, it's always kind of a bad day. So, you know, they'll be sweating. I used to lose, on average, about 11.5 pounds a day out at practice, bro. You weighed in at 310, I was going to be sub 300 by the end of the day. I was going to be getting two bags of IV fluid, and I was going to be getting in that cold tub. That's the only way I could learn to survive throughout training camp. So you're right, man. Food trucks are popping. The official team store trailer opened up. Everybody's getting hooked up. I'm going to go visit that tacos and tequila food truck here in just a little bit.
There you go.
You know, hey, if I can catch a long commercial break, I'll be going over there checking out what they got over there. But, yeah, man, the fans. I think Arthur Blank guesstimated yesterday about 5,000 fans.
Yes.
The hill was absolutely packed. Raheem Morris, Terry Fontenot addressing everybody on the hill, which was awesome to see and possibly, you know, see that once again today. But it's a great group. The passionate Atlanta Falcons fans are out here getting it done. And as always, man, we appreciate the fanfare. I've already had a couple of Mike's Mafia members
stop by
and drop a little Mike's Mafia. We had a few Squid Nation guys the other day as well. So it's always, man, it's one of my favorite things every year to get out here to training camp, get in front of the fans, and be able to chop it up with people.
Absolutely. And thank you to everybody that has stopped by and given us a wave or stopped by and say hello. We love seeing y'all. Absolutely. So please, if you're out here, feel free to come up to us and say hello, and we'll definitely chop it up with you for as long as we can, as we are live again out here from Atlanta Falcons training camp here. Flowery Brad's getting you ready for day four of practice. We are going to have Josh Kendall on, Falcons beat writer for The Athletic, coming up in about 16 minutes here. He'll be on with us at 9:40, so we'll get his takeaways from the first 3 days of practice so far and what he's expecting for day four. So, again, that's coming up at 9:40 here. But, Mike, what I want to get into right now, we were talking about the wide receivers, obviously the Darnell Mooney injury, the DJ Shark addition last segment to kick things off. But I want to switch sides here, and I want to go to the defense, and I want to specifically go to the secondary, because, to me, this secondary battle is all the way popping. We got, obviously, Xavier Watts, who has looked good, got some first-team reps yesterday from what I saw. Obviously, you got Jordan Fuller, the veteran, been some first-team reps as well, been looking solid. And then we got a guy who I think starts to need to get a little bit more recognition,
yeah.
DeMarco Helms.
Yep.
I think his name needs to be put in the hat a little bit more when we talk about guys who can legit win this safety spot next to Jesse Bates, because to me, DeMarco Helms, he does have an advantage. I think each one of these guys have an advantage. Obviously, I think if we talk about upside, obviously DeMarco Helms and Xavier Wise both have, I think, higher upsides than a Jordan Fuller does. Jordan Fuller, at this point, he is what he is as a veteran. Xavier Watts, to me, I think has the highest upside, so I think that's the advantage he has. Obviously, Jordan Fuller is the veteran. He's been here before. He's been through, you know, multiple training camps, been a part of multiple defenses, so he can probably pick up on things quicker as far as Jeff Olbrich's defense goes, schemes and all those things. That's the advantage he has to me. DeMarco Helms, though, while everybody, this is everybody's first year of learning Jeff Olbrich's system as DC, he has been with this organization the longest as far as you talk about Jordan Fuller and Xavier Watts and DeMarco Helms. He's been here the longest. So I think that does give him a little, at least a little bit of an advantage. You correct me if I'm wrong, but I do think that gives him a little bit of advantage that maybe he can take advantage of. But overall, I think DeMarco Helms is a guy, and we've been hearing about him doing well with either the first team or the second team. Yesterday, I think he ran mostly with the second team. But DeMarco Helms, I think, is a guy that his name should be thrown in the hat a lot more when you talk about the battle at the safety position.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. And, look, you talk about youth and ability versus experience. In all three of these instances, when you talk about Xavier Watts, and he did reportedly yesterday, and I've got Abe Gordon putting eyes on it today, get some run with the ones. Now, the first Thursday, the first practice out, that was last Thursday, you know, just a few days ago, I'm watching the field. The only rookie that was on field one to start practice was Billy Bowman, he was at the nickel spot. When you look back at the safety spot, it was Jordan Fuller to start reportedly yesterday. You did get more of Xavier Watts with that first group, and they're able to kind of move on from there. And I hate, Dylan, I hate bringing this name up, and you tell me if you remember this guy. I know that this guy is a soft spot or a sore spot for a lot of Atlanta Falcons fans, but he was a college teammate of mine, and that's Roman Harper, former New Orleans Saint. I was listening to Roman Harper the other day, and he was talking about kind of the difference he had from when he left Alabama. And we had a very good defense under Joe Kynes in 2005. Roman Harper was a senior. DeMeco Ryans was a senior on that team. A number of other really incredible football players. And Roman was talking about kind of his senior year in college to when he was a rookie in the NFL. He was just listening to instructions. He was listening to instructions. He was doing everything the coaches told him. He was reacting in every which way that the coaches told him to go. If I'm supposed to go left, I'm going to go left. If I'm going to go right, if I'm supposed to go right, I'm going to go right. And as he evolved throughout his, 10-plus, 12-plus year career in the NFL with the New Orleans Saints, he's able to look at things from a coach's kind of point of view. And he's able to say, hey, man, I remember this motion. I remember this quarterback tried to do this. I know that he's looking at me on this play. I can see this formation in the boundary. I know that they like to do this. I can react much more in the way of a coach once I get into year two, year three, year four, year five of the NFL. Right? And so I think that's what you have to talk about in terms of what is DeMarco Helms right now?
Yeah.
Is DeMarco Helms is in year three, but he's also a guy that spent his entirety of year two injured. And so it's hard to kind of diagnose where he's at from a mental preparation standpoint. I think he is a veteran. He's watched a lot of tape. He's been around a lot of football in the NFL. He's not quite Xavier Watts, but he's not quite Jordan Fuller, right? And so I think he's somewhere in the middle. And I think you're right. I think he deserves to be talked about a little bit more. Had a couple of very physical PBUs yesterday, it sounds like, in terms of what he brought back to their secondary. Remember, DeMarco Helms was a guy – Dylan, just a couple of years ago when he was a rookie, that made this team based off his ability to be cerebral. He kind of baited some quarterbacks into some interceptions in the preseason, always in the right place, was more of a sure tackler during training camp, during the preseason games, than he was in his senior year at Alabama. So he did have a lot of eyes coming to him. I think had he stayed healthy last year, he would have straight up beat out Richie Grant for that position. Now, he gets injured. You bring in Justin Simmons, Richie Grant's in San Francisco, and that story never played out. But I do think it was DeMarco Helms' job last year to lose before you went and signed Justin Simmons. So the good news is I feel like you have a multitude of positive options. I think if you look at it from a glass half full standpoint, you can look at it and go, DeMarco can do this. We feel good about building on Xavier Watts. Jordan Fuller had his best years with Raheem Morris. We feel good about all of those things. But you also have to look at it from a standpoint of how do you get and find all three of these guys' quality reps and give them all an opportunity to kind of be at the forefront. It sounds to me, just having been a guy in those positions, that Xavier Watts did everything asked of him and more on Thursday and earned reps flipping over to the other field on Saturday. So I'll be curious to see where that kind of lands today. Like I said, we got Abe Gordon out there that'll have eyes on that today, and we'll talk to him afterward.
And I have a follow-up for you too, because obviously you've been through training camps, you've taken reps with the ones, reps with the twos, like you've been through all of that. So how much of a difference is it when you're getting reps with the twos and you're doing well with the twos versus getting reps with the ones and getting good experience with the runs? Like how much of a difference is that? Like how much Is there a big difference in quality of reps when you're going up against the twos versus quality of reps when you're going against the ones?
There's no doubt about it. It's a massive, massive difference. And for instance, I think I was playing a little bit of tackle my rookie year, maybe my second year going into it. I played all five plus positions and plus tight end and all that stuff. So I would bounce around and get reps all over the place.
Right.
It was like the difference between going against Cliff Matthews, who I love, but never played a ton of defense, special teamer when it came to the Atlanta Falcons, and John Abraham. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it just like you
night
it's
day.
Just as night and day as that. It's like if John Abraham wanted to go, it was going to be a bad day. There was nothing I could do about John Abraham, right? So I was getting my work in against a Cliff Matthews or against a Croy Bierman at the time, things like that. Guys who would be good battles with, get my hands up, you know, work my feet, things like that. If John Abraham wanted to go, there wasn't nothing I was going to do about it. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things. It's almost like and I don't have a great answer to kind of cross over, but just picture if we were talking about a Julio Jones being on this offense, and it was like, hey, you know, how big is it if Xavier Watts is on field two against David Sills as right. opposed to going against Julio Jones? It's huge, man.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And the good thing is it only makes you better. It
right.
makes you really focus on the small details in terms of what you're trying to get done, you know, what you know can work against certain guys. But it just it's a massive detail that a lot of these guys will be missing out on. Now, in the same breath, I heard David Sills had some good catches yesterday against A.J. Terrell. So they are going to find their reps as well. And everybody is here for a reason, and they can all say that they have at least spent some time in the NFL, and that's a big thing for a lot of these guys. But, yeah, man, the drop-off from the field that's furthest away from our viewing period to the one that's closest is massive. I mean, it's Grand Canyon massive, and, you know, you'll learn a lot of things being on that close field with the ones and twos.
It is Sports Radio 99 The Game. Your boy Dylan Matthews alongside the former Atlanta Falcon, Mike Johnson, as we are out here live at Flowery Branch for day four of Falcons training camp. The fans continue to roll in as we get another great showing from the fans as they are making their way to the hill. Make sure you stop by and say hello if you're on your way or maybe just starting to park the car. Stop by and say what's up to us. Mike,
line's still backed up, Dylan. I mean, like, I keep thinking
up.
The line's going to die down at some point. Getting through security, line is still backed up.
There are so many people still waiting to get in here.
It's a steady flow. A steady flow of people rolling in here.
Mike, while we have a couple of minutes, I want to ask you about one more guy in this defensive backfield for the Falcons, and that's Natron Brooks. You guys talked about him a little bit on the morning shift, and that kind of intrigued me after I heard he had another good day yesterday in practice. We know Billy Bowman Jr. has been impressive thus far from what we heard. He's been impressive enough to where the first day of practice, he was the only rookie to get run with the ones, as you mentioned earlier on in the show. But is Natron Brooks, could he also be a dark horse to win this slot corner nickel job?
I'd be curious to see how this rolls out. And I think it's been one of the interesting things about this camp so far. Like I said, we've only seen two practices.
Right.
But I think there was a lot of curiosity surrounding, first of all, bringing back Mike Hughes, not drafting a quote-unquote outside corner, that
right.
you really go and get Billy Bowman as a star nickel roll-down physical box type of player. But you also – we haven't heard much about Clark Phillips. And Clark Phillips is a guy who, when I was watching Thursday, was lined up strictly outside. It was Dee Alford and Billy Bowman who were lined up in the slot. Now, Clark Phillips, when you look at him, screams slot corner. Like, he just he has the build, the makeup, the stature, whatever you want to call it, of a slot corner, but has been kind of relegated to outside duty. I'll be curious to see where Natron Brooks lands. If you remember last preseason, I thought Natron Brooks was one of the stars of preseason. Ends up, you know, kind of going back and forth at the 53, gets a little bit of burn at certain points of the year with injuries. I thought he was one of the best tacklers on the team throughout training camp last year, throughout some of the preseason games, and kind of showed out. Now, I know he got dinged up a little bit along the way at certain points, but I think he has that ability, and I think he's already shown this coaching staff to an extent of what he is capable of, and I think that's those reps, and I think that's why you see him being involved in a second team's type of style where he can kind of come in. I personally, Dylan, I was shocked. Thursday when we rolled out here, hey, Jalen Walker, where's Jalen Walker? Oh, he's on the far field. James Pierre, man, wait, where's James Pierre? Oh, he's on the far field. Man, are there any rookies over here? Oh, wait a minute. Billy Bowman lined up next to Jesse,
yeah.
lined up next to AJ, lined up next to Mike Hughes, just outside of Caden Ellis. It's like, oh, man, like he must have really shown out during OTAs to be able to lead to some of those reps. I know that he's a guy that a lot of people are looking forward to, as you know, alongside Xavier Watts. But it just tells me something that on day one, he was one of those guys involved in the fold. I think Natron Brooks can do that. I think he has the ability, and I think he's shown this coaching staff some stuff But there's a long way to go. And that kind of thing will start to sort itself out. And I think both those guys, honestly, will start to kind of find their own role, their own niche. And as we move forward, we'll be a bigger part of this team as we move along throughout training camp.
Plenty of positions to watch out for if you are heading up the hill and if you are Atlanta Falcons fan. Plenty to look into as we continue Falcons training camp here live at Flowery Branch. It is your boy Dylan Matthews and it's my guy Mikey P. Mike Johnson, former Atlanta Falcon. We continue on when we come back 5 minutes from now. The Falcons beat writer for The Athletic, Josh Kendall, is going to join us live and we're going to pick what he's seen from Falcons training camp thus far and what he's seen on the field when we come back here about 5 minutes from now. Again, it is your boy Dylan Matthews and it's Mikey P, former Atlanta Falcon, live from Flowery Branch, live from Atlanta Falcon. Falcons are getting ready to hit the field. We'll be back right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
I'm happy to be back with my teammates and, you know, just be back.
Right now, we're just ready to play.
Back to Mike and Dylan, live from the Ticketmaster Studios in Flowery Branch.
Brought to you in part by your North Georgia Honda dealers, Window Nation, windownation.com, or call 866-90-NATION, and Margaritaville in Lanier Islands.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, hanging out with my guy, a former Atlanta Falcon, national champion, team captain for that national champion Alabama team. Mike Johnson, Mikey P, hanging out with me. And we are also now joined by Falcons beat writer for The Athletic, Josh Kendall, has joined us here live at Falcons training camp here at Flowery Branch. Make sure you give him a follow on social media, on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at Josh The Athletic. Josh Kendall, man, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
How is the weather, if at all, different today than it was yesterday? I was not out here yesterday. Thursday was hot but a little bit breezy out on the field. Today seems like the heat's beating down just a little bit more.
I haven't been out there in on the other side of the building in the full sun yet,
right?
But yesterday wasn't too bad. I don't think today's going to be too bad. I don't think we've hit yet. I don't think the weather's been a factor yet.
Right.
I don't think we're there yet.
I was trying to explain to people, obviously I practiced through college in Tuscaloosa, which I swear is America's armpit in terms of weather, and I grew up in Florida, which is very, very hot. The weather in Flowery Branch to me is different than anywhere else in Atlanta. There is always like a slight breeze out there for the most part. And it's not like, I think you're like, if you're in Midtown, I said this earlier, if you're at Piedmont Park, if you're at Terrell Mill Park, if you're going to like Little League baseball games, you're like, God dang, it's hot out here. Out here, it's a little bit more gentle. I'm just talking about like 4 degrees off
but,
the heat.
But it makes a difference.
And it makes a world of difference.
For the folks out
especially
there,
when you're in. We talked last year. We talked to Drake London about the Guardian caps.
Yeah.
And he was like, "It's so hot. There's no breeze.
No
it gets saturated. There's no ventilation in the helmet." So it's always kind of the first thing to keep track of for me. You know, before you even get to the football thing. So obviously that kind of being a big deal. Look, I do want to get to the football thing though, and obviously you've had eyes on this team and know this as well as anybody. I have made a big deal about it over the last couple of days about Billy Bowman getting the first team reps on the first field on Thursday. Things changed a little bit. Xavier Watts getting more run on the back end. I've heard about DeMarco Helms having some physical kind of pass breakups on the back end yesterday. What have you made so far of the safety battle with them two and Jordan Fuller?
I've seen Jordan Fuller. I haven't seen a ton of Jordan Fuller. I haven't seen so much of Jordan Fuller that it makes me think, yeah, they love him as he's the guy and you've got to beat him out. I certainly very much feel like safety and nickel are – I'm not even sure there's a 1A at either one of those spots. So
right.
I think that they are auditioning a lot of guys at both spots. I think that Billy Bowman is a guy who will not – when the pads go on is when he'll have to make his case because I think his biggest attribute – is the aggression and willingness with which he tackles. I think that the league is, you know, the needle's not moving dramatically, but the needle's moving back a little bit toward the run game.
Yeah.
You still gotta have that nickel back out there a lot. So that guy has got to be willing and able to fit and tackle in the run game. And I think that that's what they ID'd in him when they drafted him above even his pass coverage, which is not bad. Not to suggest that he can't do that. But I think he's going to separate himself in the run game.
It is Falcons beat writer for The Athletic, Josh Kendall, joining us here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Dylan Matthews and former Atlanta Falcon Mike Johnson hanging out with you. Josh, there's obviously a lot of juggling going on right now, a lot of rotations happening, so nothing's obviously written in stone yet. But has anything stuck out to you as far as how they've been rotating with the interior defensive line? I've been seeing you keep up with that, and obviously it's been a lot of Onyemata. It's been a lot of Morgan Fox. I've been a lot of Ruka Roro in there too as well. Has anything stuck out to you as far as how that defensive interior defensive rotation has looked to you?
No, I have not picked up anything yet that's very telling to me. Honestly, you know, Rook and Brandon came in as a duo yesterday in sort of their 11-on-11 work. They were in early. They were not the starters there, but they were in early. I think that I'm wondering, you know, Dorless is going to be sort of a big end. Rook is an interior guy. I'll punt to the pads period. We're going to learn a lot about Rook in the pads period. He is a slippery and explosive pass rusher. What he has got to prove to me, not that that matters, but I think more so to his coaches, is can he hold up in the run game?
Yeah.
He's not a big guy in his lower half. He's going to have to hold up in the run game if he's going to have a chance to be a three-down guy in there. That, to me, is the big question mark, and he can't answer that until we get to the pads.
I think that's such a good point. And, you know, you heard kind of reports coming out yesterday, the defense had a good day. It sounds like there was an uptick in the amount of blitzes we saw to Jeff Olbrich's defenses yesterday, which as a former lineman. Now, I think there's positions that with pads on that you do better at. I think there's some positions that you do worse at. It just depends on kind of what your task is. But I will say as a lineman, the very first day of blitzes, it's hard to kind of make it look good as an offensive lineman.
Right.
You're like, what am I supposed to do, hit this guy under the chin? They didn't have pads on, you know what I mean? And so I kind of want to build off that a little bit. We have talked a ton over the last couple of months about the fact that you seemingly didn't address the departure of Grady Jarrett. I think we all kind of think Rook is going to kind of fill a similar role. But to a greater extent, Eddie Goldman. I think Eddie Goldman fits such a unique role for this team last year. He was that zero nose, the tree stump in the middle when you really wanted to go to, you know, the five across the board or a six-man front even at times, that he was the guy that could hold the point. Who do you look at in terms of guys that really have to be able to make a leap this year in run defense other than maybe Rook? You just brought up Rook, but I think it's really on a lot of these guys that are going to have to step up to plate because they weren't good last year and they lost a couple of good run defenders.
Right, exactly. I think that, you know, David Onyemata is, you know, like Grady Jarrett, he's on the wrong side of 30.
Yep.
Good player. You know, you've got to be tough to play in there in the NFL on either side of the line of scrimmage. But David is getting up there. Let's see how many snaps he can effectively play. You're going to see, Kentavious Street is not a sexy name, but Falcons fans are going to probably see more Kentavious Street than they think they are or than they want to right now because of he can defend the run, because he's a bigger body in there, because he just knows how to live in there. Rook, Brandon, Zach Harrison is a guy who I loved when they drafted him as a 4-3 end. I don't know where he lives now, and I can't get an answer to that. I would love to know, but I can't believe he can't help you somewhere. But I don't know where it is. I think the defensive line's got a ton of questions.
I agree with you that, and I do want to hit on the Zach Harrison thing here in just a second, but I do want to focus back in on David Onyemata, and I was asked the question the other day, and I honestly couldn't answer it. Is David Onyemata at this point, because I think he is, but in your opinion, is he a roster lock? Like, is that a guy? I know that there's some money to be out there saved if you were to let him go at the end of training camp. I just don't know how you replace a guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, I hope this doesn't sound wrong. They'd love to be able to release David Onyemata.
Right.
But I don't think they can.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see it.
Exactly my feeling on it.
I don't see it. I mean, I still want to know if Brandon Dorless and Ruka Roro are the guys that they thought they were when they drafted him. They traded up to draft Rook high in the second round.
Yep.
I still want to know if they're the guys you thought they were. And if they are, then maybe you can play with it. You can think about the Onyemata thing. I don't see it right now.
Yeah.
It is Josh Kendall joining us here on Sports Radio 99 The Game, live from Atlanta Falcons training camp here at Flowery Branches. We're getting you ready for day four. His practice is just now starting to get underway. Josh, I want to ask about DJ Chark, obviously the Darnell Mooney injury, and then DJ Chark. I know that was a guy they were looking at, obviously, before the Darnell Mooney injury happened, and then it happens, and it kind of just makes sense for them to bring Chark in. If Darnell doesn't have to miss any time, where does Chark kind of fit into this? Or does he even make the roster if Darnell Mooney does end up being ready for week one? Because it seems like Chark is kind of a like-for-like substitution when you talk about him going in for Mooney. But other than that, you still have Kadarius Hodge. I feel like they pretty have high hopes about Casey Washington and Nick Nash, obviously. So if Darnell is ready for week one, which, again, it's kind of unclear of whether or not he's going to be, where does DJ Chark fit into this roster?
I think that they feel really good about Darnell being ready for week one. And I saw him when he went down. You know, he just kind of shook it off. And Drake London helped him up, you know, pulled him up, you know, by his, you know, yanked him up off the ground. They weren't being careful with him. I think Darnell's going to be fine. I do think Chark's got a chance to make the roster because I think, you know, five and six wide receiver slots are completely up for grabs.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
I think that the first three in Kadarrell, you know, you can write those guys in and pin, basically. They think that Chark is healthy after a couple of tough injury years. He worked out with Easton Stick throughout the summer. Easton Stick came in here and really sang his praises. So if he's back to the guy, you know, nobody 7 years in is the athlete likely that they were when they were drafted. But if he's back closer to the guy that the Jags took in the second round, he's got a chance to absolutely be the fifth wide receiver on this roster and a guy who will help you if he can play some special teams. Casey Washington's, this is an important year for Casey Washington, in my opinion, in terms of making the roster. You know, a guy like, you know, I watched David Sills and the way he looks out there and knowing his athletic background, I think he's got a shot, but he's got to play some special teams. He's got to find a special teams role if he's going to do that.
Yeah.
I think Chark probably, you know, makes this roster. If not the 53, then the practice squad.
Yeah.
If he's interested in that.
It's such a unique thing too, because when I was playing, you know, 10, 15 years ago, having a guy that's in year seven or whatever it is make the practice squad was just not a thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it wasn't allowed. And now, you know, you have just a couple years ago, Julio signs with the Eagles and he's on practice squad. And you're like, how is that possible? You know, that doesn't even seem legal. Look, we only got a couple minutes left with you, and then we're going to let you go watch some of practice. But I'd be remiss if I didn't at least bring up Kyle Pitts. I have been pained as to whether or not I really want to go down this Kyle Pitts road on a daily basis on morning radio, right? And I'm just putting it bluntly because I think there is such a sector of Falcons fans that want to believe and that always are going to look at the upside and say, man, this was 4-4 out of the combine, and he just needs to get settled in at quarterback. But then, if I'm being honest, I turn on the film, and I don't know how much I believe. You know what I mean? There's not separation. There's not physicality. Everybody talks about finding mismatches. I don't know where the mismatch is. Usually when there's a mismatch for a tight end, he can be physical with a corner because the corner's smaller, or, you know, he can outrun an outside linebacker because he's fast. I don't know where it lies. And I guess my question leads into, what is a realistic year for Kyle Pitts? I think it was, you know, what, 4 touchdowns last year, 500 yards receiving, something along those lines. I don't think he gets back to 1,000 yards this year, but I don't really know what's realistic.
I agree that I don't think he gets back to 1,000 yards, and I'm with you. I was angry with Michael Penix Jr. the first day of camp.
I felt the same way. I was like, no!
I came into this telling myself, I am not going to talk about Kyle Pitts for a week or two. And then Michael Penix made us right about Kyle Pitts day one.
He opened up a can of worms.
He did.
But I think that the story there was that was very deliberate by the quarterback. Mike Penix went out and played a bunch of golf with Kyle Pitts. So I think that Michael Penix is trying very hard to pull Kyle Pitts to a place we haven't seen him be. But Kirk Cousins tried that last year.
I agree. We talked to him about it.
And Kirk Cousins is great at that. I mean, Kirk Cousins, for however folks feel about him now, is a really good professional quarterback and a really good teammate. And he put a lot of energy into trying to get Kyle to a better place. And it didn't happen. So I'm with you. You know, Terry Fontenot, 15, 20 minutes ago, sang Kyle's praises. Everybody here is saying great things about Kyle. I mean, we can rewind the tape 12 months, and it was the same thing.
I was going to say, do you remember the practice he had at Secondary High School last year?
Yeah.
And we were on air live during – I kept going, oh, Kyle Pitts again, oh! And it just never came to fruition.
I'm in the same spot you are.
Josh, I got really one more quick for you, and it is Josh Kendall, Falcons beat writer for The Athletic. Follow him on X at Josh The Athletic. Josh, what are you looking for? Is there anything specific you're looking for today as far as practice goes?
I mean, I've I'm following the defense. I'm going to spend the next 2 weeks. Yeah. No. Well, the reason is I don't have any question marks on the offense.
Yeah, you know,
that's a good point.
If there was a quarterback competition, yesterday would have been interesting because Kirk Cousins looked good and the first team offense and Michael Penix not so much, and that was not all on Penix. But there are no question marks on the offense. Yeah. We know the five starting offensive
You mean
line.
You're not following the backup center battle as closely as I am, Josh?
Hey,
come on, man.
Listen, I will talk Javon Gwynn. I love Javon Gwynn. I want Javon Gwynn is my guy, and I want him to be that guy. But, you know, there's no mystery there. I think Darnell will be back. I think we know all the things. So, for me, it's just watching the defense. Nice,
there I agree. You have it. There you have it. Josh Kendall, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy practice today, and stay cool out there, brother.
Thank you.
You got the smart water. Smart water looks ice cold, so he's ready.
Boy. I'm hydrated. Nice, thanks, fellas.
Thanks,
thank you, Josh. That is Josh Kendall, Falcons beat writer for The Athletic. Again, make sure you follow him at Josh The Athletic, giving you all the great training camp updates throughout Falcons training camp, and he's giving you great content throughout the season. So make sure you follow Josh and check out his work on The Athletic as well. Make sure you stick with us, too, because we are coming right back. And after this, about 5 minutes from now, we got to get into the sack numbers, Mike. What everybody wants to know about, how many sacks can we put on the Falcons defense this year? Are they going to get to 40? Can they get to 45? I mean, we're going to talk about it next. Also, if the Brave season couldn't get any worse, yeah, it's bad. It's gotten worse. That's all I can say about it. Sack talk and Braves talk coming up next. Here, Dylan Matthews hanging out with you along with Michael P. Mike Johnson here, former Atlanta Falcon, live at Atlanta Falcons training camp here at Flowery Branch on day four of Falcons training camp. We'll be back right after this on Sports Radio 99 The Game and
the Odyssey app.